How's it going, guys? Gian here and Evelyn. And today we want to talk about a topic that is part of our experience, which is self-parenting. So I always start by asking Evelyn, what does self-parenting mean to you?
So self-parenting to me, or how I like to refer it to, is like reparenting, is the process where as you get older in adulthood and you realize that there are some gaps in your parenting that you need to go in and in essence fill. So for me, it's a journey. I think it's synonymous to a journey as well, because it does take a lot of learning and realizing these are the things that I didn't know, and then going in and filling those little gaps.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I think that our parents, they do, this is not by any means to, you know, knock them or tell them that their job isn't good, because we're not perfect ourselves, but every parent does. Our philosophy is that people do the best that they can with what they have. And I think that as one goes through life, like in my experience, for example, when you start crashing or things don't end up the way that you want them to, and you don't necessarily know why, there could be that right there could be a telltale sign of some parenting aspects that weren't instilled in you, as well as some habits or parenting habits that they instilled in you that don't actually serve you, that you modeled from them. So I think that one amazing way to know what you're missing or what you may need is through a romantic partner such as Evelyn and I. Friends can do it as well, but I believe that the opposite of the masculine, the feminine energies, they can see, you know, the feminine can see the masculine some things that I may be lacking. Just to share a little bit of insight. For example, me, I grew up without my dad, for example, right? And Evelyn grew up with her dad. Like my parents were divorced early on, and she grew up with them, both of them. So she's able to see some things about me that I may be sometimes lacking or some shortcomings, and she communicates it to me. And I just, you know, I'm a student, I'm humble, and though it hurts sometimes, I'll go ahead and still listen. So those are one of the things that I definitely think are important.
Yeah, so I agree as well. I think that, as you mentioned, amorous relationships are very important, but also just peers, work, colleagues. Sometimes we often try to get, when we receive feedback from people, those are also telltale signs, sometimes triggering indicators. I know some of us, like for example, me, I struggled with receiving feedback, and I realized that truly came from somewhere in my software per se, or in my parenting manual, that I wasn't taught, for example, to receive positive feedback. I wasn't taught certain things that I knew were necessary as I got older and became independent and was in the workforce, or was, you know, starting my own relationships, whatever that meant, and independent from my family. Sometimes it's hard to know what is missing, especially if we're still living under our parents' roof, or if we're still dependent on our parents, because those dynamics work. Those things work, because you're there, you've been there your whole life. So you're like, what are you talking about? Like, this works. Like, my mom and I, you know, all these things, like, it just works and we function. It's not until you get out of that dynamic and you go into a new dynamic or try to create your own that you realize, like, oh, wow, yeah, no, I don't really mesh here, or I don't really fit in this puzzle. What is going on? And that, to me, were the triggering moments. That, to me, were the instances where I realized that I'm like, okay, either I can be stubborn and be like, no, I'm absolutely perfect, my parenting was fine, no, I don't have any gaps, like, what are you talking about? I don't have anything to work on. Or I can be like, hey, actually, yeah, like, this is odd. Why don't I know how to receive feedback? Or wait, why don't I know how to express my emotions? Why do I like shut down whenever you're trying to tell me that, like, hey, this, and I'm like crying, you know? Those are little things for me that I realized, like, okay, wait, I can either be stubborn and be upset, or say something like, okay, what, take the triggering moment and say something like, okay, what is it that I need to learn?
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. No, you said it best. I think that the part where, like, since we grow up with our families, and we model everything so much so that it becomes the norm. And it's like, you don't really see how the norm to you is not the norm in certain ways, right? Some things that are normal to you are good. This is, again, not to vilify parents. I mean, I presume that it's a tough job, because once you have children, like, your hours of the day get cut in a dramatic way, and you know, your learning or self-reflection may be stunted as a result of that, because now all your energy and work goes into this child. So they give you the blueprint, essentially that screenshot of a blueprint of all they know at that point in time. And then as you grow, you kind of realize we have that advantage, because we get to watch all the mistakes they can make and things like that, which gives us the upper hand to know the things that we may be missing or not. So I think that that's very important to notice the people that convey or communicate to you certain aspects of personality traits or certain things that are normal. For example, with Evelyn, she's taught me this, like, sometimes I'll go to the kitchen and I'll get a cup of water. And I go back to the couch, we're watching a movie, and I only bring one cup for me, and I don't bring one for her. And then that's something that, you know, in her upbringing, you have to bring cups for everybody, you know? And
you have to just, it's this aspect of mindfulness.
Yeah, mindfulness. A lot,
where it's like,
yeah.
I grew up being very, like, in Spanish, that he said, like, a comedido, right? Which is where it's like, you go to the kitchen, does anybody need anything, right? Because it's like it's sort of something that, again, what is normal to me and what is normal to him? So then those were the things that were sort of like, hey, like, you didn't even wonder if I wanted water, right? And those were things that were very interesting,
yeah.
But yet, also, he saw it as like, oh, yeah, you're right. Like, I really don't think of it that way. And there's certain things that he's taught me as well, like in regards to like emotions or things like that, that are like, hey, like, I noticed that when we have like difficult conversations, like, for example, me going back to feedback, that you don't take them very well, you know, and he takes feedback a lot better than I do. Like, he can take a tough criticism, and he's like, okay, like, cool, you know, and you tell me something tough, now I'm getting a little bit better. I'd say I'm getting
better.
Yeah,
of course.
But in the beginning, it's like, it could have been something as tiny as like, hey, I noticed this about that, you know, and I would be like, what are you talking about? Like, absolutely not. Like, I don't think I have to work on that. And it was just this shutdown that I didn't realize why I was doing that. And it's not until somebody is telling you from a place of love, obviously we come from a place of like, where the main understanding is, hey, like, if I tell you anything, it's because I care about you, right?
Yeah,
it's not like, hey, I'm telling you about the cup of water because I hate you and I want to change your habits, or hey, I'm telling you this feedback because I notice how upset you get in this situation. So it's almost like knowing that the foundation, right, or the principle of our relationship, or the basic or the fundamental, is we care about each other. We want to support each other to be the best versions of ourselves possible. So therefore, when these things are being told to each other, we're learning that they're not coming from an angry place, right?
Oh,
that they're coming from a positive place.
Yeah.
And that I think is something that, though I love my parents and all the great things that they did teach me, I also had to be honest with myself and realize that there was things that perhaps I was learning in regards to feedback by my guardians, you know, and the people who were supposed to teach me how to handle those things. So then you have these mega reflective moments, and you can go back to your past situations, coworkers, all these things, and you're like, wow, how many times did I not take feedback well?
Right. No.
Right?
Yeah. I think that one of the most important things is we'll have the conversation. The cup of water is minimal. They are hard. They do trigger something. There is an aspect of it that triggers an emotion, and most people have a knee-jerk reaction to any type of conversation like this that is emotional or that triggers something, right? So what we do now is we're in a more self-reflective mindset, where, like, if something gets to me emotionally, the first thing that I do is like, well, where did that come from? Let's work on that together. Instead of flashing out at her or her closing or me closing and just pulling any excuse to like shut it down, which was the past how I was. Now it's more like, well, let's talk about it. It's going to be painful, but let's sit on the same side of the table. And by doing so, by wondering why this, why do I get a reaction out of this? You just can't help but to you know, track back, to go back in time. And it typically, most, I would say 90% of the time, it's a result of something that we experienced with our parents at a younger age. It could be siblings, parents, could be teachers and friends. But the first blueprint or first emotional heartbreak or emotional trauma that we do get, it comes from our parents. And it does not mean that they're villains, that they woke up that morning saying, how can I mess up my kids' lives? They are great people. They're amazing. They do the best that they can with what they have. But it's definitely very important to have these conversations, not only with your partner, friends that bring out these aspects of you, but actually with your parents, which is another episode, I would argue.
Yeah, which I think it will be. Because it definitely, I think, is one of those things that you realize that if these are not easy conversations to have. Like, for example, me, right? Again, going back to the feedback thing. If I know that I'm difficult to receive feedback, I can speculate that so are my caregivers, right? I can speculate that they probably are the same. So, and they've already calcified this habit. They're already adults that didn't revisit, that didn't reparent, that didn't say, hey, what is it that I needed that I should be reviewing in regards to my habits or my relationships with others? So then at this point, if you would go and have, for example, me with my parents, I have a conversation about feedback, it's probably going to be not well received, right? It's like, what are you talking about? Because this is something that to them is normal, which in turn turned normal to me, which in turn, as I get an adult, I become an adult. And the older I get, I try to normalize with everybody. And it's like, no, Lynn, this is not normal-ish behavior. And what is normal, right? I don't like to normalize normal or even use the word normal. I guess what I'm really, what I think we both are getting at is healthy, right? What is a healthy way to associate with people, to have a relationship with people where we don't hurt people's feelings, especially people who we really care about? And how is it that, how do we continue to make sure that it's mindful and healthy for both of us so that we feel at ease, so that we can grow and be our best person? Yeah. So I think that's it's so interesting, but I think can give really good examples of reparenting, because I feel like you've done so much of it, and I think you can dive into that
for sure. I mean, I like, again, this is still, we're just, you know, we come to this planet to learn. We come to Earth as human beings. We're here in a learning experience from birth to death. The second you stop learning, I believe you start dying. So even with the most grandiose parenting that you could think of out there, whatever the ideal parenting may be, you still, you can't cover all the, you know, all the areas. There's something for us to learn ourselves. As a matter of fact, if you teach them too many things and make it, I would argue, too easy for them, now it's going to be to their detriment, because now they don't know what some adversity and some obstacles are. So in my experience, you know, I believe that, you know, we're dealt cards. Life is a deck. You get the cards that you're dealt, and you don't go back to the dealer and tell them, let me get different cards, which I would argue possibly, like, earlier in my teen years, I would be very rebellious and, like, really, like, try to make them change, or, like, why aren't things a certain way or the way I wanted them to be? And then I realized, you know, that's a very emotionally immature, because a lot of things don't happen the way we want. It's about what we do with what we got, you know, and understanding that nobody here is deliberately actually trying to do you harm. There is harm that is unintended. Some of it may be intended. I'm not saying that it isn't. But in my experience, I did learn how to sort of figure out how to make my own debt, like take charge of what I couldn't get what I wanted through my parents, in terms of, say, on a financial sense, or even goals that I had. So I did the whole, like, talking to the dealer to get, like, different cards, or telling the dealer to give me better cards, or why can't this card be better, essentially. And then I realized that this isn't really going anywhere, and it's not the way to do it. You don't fight it like this way. What I realized is, like, I'm going to take charge now. I will do everything that it takes with my power, with whatever tools I have at the moment, and alchemize whatever I see here, this lead, essentially, into gold. And those virtues that I learned, those skills and virtues that I've learned along the way, is actually the reason why I thank them. I actually recently thanked my mom for the intended or unintended adversity that I went through, because without it, I would not have learn these skills and these virtues. Like, you know, it's very difficult when somebody gives you a lecture about certain skills, such as discipline or consistency or resilience. It's different when somebody tells you that, when you have to do it in a life or death situation, to you know, to exaggerate a little bit. But I do believe that we do need adversity. We do need to grow up without having everything handed to us, but just have that enough self-awareness and people around you that care about you, that will point out certain aspects of you that you can tell that maybe you're lacking in, and just be humble enough to be a student, you know?
So. Yeah, and then also there's a lot of tools out there too. I think that once you start asking yourself those questions, I think that's where it starts. I think the questions, you actually always mention this, it's like kind of like crowbars, right? The questions sort right. of become these things that like open up the lids that you have sealed very tight. So then there, it's a good example could be like, hey, yeah, why can't I take feedback, right? Using the feedback example. Or yeah, why is it that I get very upset, you know, when this happens? And this is not to obviously, please, you know, feel your emotions and all these things. This is not to make you a cold-hearted person. But I think that there are some things that as you get older that you realize like, hey, yeah, I need to look at that, you know? And yeah. It's like kind of like opening the hood of the car and officially seeing what's really wrong with it after all of these lights have come up on the dash, right? So then you want to go in there and be like, yeah, if I want to ride smoothly, right, and safely in this car, and I want to go and take it from point A to point B, then I think it's in my best interest to make sure that I look under the hood yeah. and see what the heck is going on. Why? Because then if not, it's probably going to break down at some point. And is that safe for anybody, for you, for everybody else? Like, no, it's sort of like this moment of like, okay, I'm looking under the hood of myself, of my psyche or persona, whatever, however you want to see it. And then really going in and asking those questions like, okay, so why did that check engine light turn on? Like, what's going on? You know, oh, it's missing whatever, oil, transmission. So then you go in, and then when you realize that, like, for example, me, like, okay, yeah, I need to work on whatever that means in regards to me taking feedback, right? What does that mean? Okay. And then this leads to kind of like our previous episode, which is sort of like, I have to work on my self-esteem. I have to work on, you know, sort of understanding what people are trying to say, communication skills, so that I don't take what somebody's trying to tell me in the wrong context. Sometimes it's just comprehension. I've noticed that a lot of the issues that a lot of us have is just comprehension. It's like you took something the wrong way and somebody didn't really mean to say it that way, but you took it that way because of some predetermined examples that you have in your catalog of memories that allowed you to interpret something like that as negative. So you saw that example in front of you as something that like, oh, maybe in my home, every time feedback was given, it was a brawl. Maybe there was arguments. So to me, feedback equals arguments and fighting, right? Example. Or instead of, hey, growing up in a situation where feedback or even difficult conversations were held in a peaceful manner, people were talking, listening to each other, discussing their feelings, accepting, validating, accepting their faults, you know, forgiving, like think of all these things that maybe most of us didn't get, right? So then if you're raised in that sort of dynamic or that sort of environment, then yeah, the odds of us sort of having that habit is very high. So that's sort of what it is for me. It's like asking myself the questions. Why am I like this? Why am I so predisposed to be stressed? Why, you know, I have so many questions that I ask myself, like, why do I struggle, you know, with my accountability? Why do I procrastinate? Why am I sad? Why, you know, all of these things, and then looking at them and being like, okay, so I have these habits, right? This is in my software. Think of like our phones or whatever else. I have this software that I haven't updated. I haven't updated. Like, we literally get softwares how often for our phones? All the time. And it's really just saying, hey, we looked under the hood and we realized that we have to update some things because the old software isn't going to work in 2024. And I think that the more accustomed we get to this idea in regards to ourselves, and this is not like, oh, okay, let me take the phone and throw it away. Like, F you phone for like needing a new software. It's like we all collectively are like, okay, yeah, let me just update it. Like, whatever, you know? Yeah. But yet we don't think of this for ourselves. It's very interesting. We don't see ourselves as people or even as something or anything, however you want to refer it, that can update itself and repair it themselves. In my case, I think like updating your software is reparenting yourself. Mm-hmm. And going in, and it's kind of like when Apple sends you that thing, they're like, hey, and this is what we're fixing, the bug that doesn't allow the emoji to pop up or the email to upload or whatever. And so you're like, okay, cool. So then it's that leads me to believe that they have had some feedback to them, right, in regards to something that isn't working appropriately because of some clashes somewhere, and they are just going in to fix that. So that I think is the notion and sort of like the way I view this as well. It's like going in, reviewing what your bugs are, right? Or these like fixes or your lights in the dash of the car, and sort of taking up a manual and seeing, I didn't know that. Now yeah. I know that. Let me put that information in there, you know?
I agree. No, I think that we typically don't have the self-reflection mm-hmm. or time to look under the hood with ourselves because we're so familiar with ourselves that, mm-hmm. you know, that old adage, right? It says familiarity breeds mm-hmm. contempt. So sometimes we're so like, it's like a fish underwater. Like it doesn't know that it's underwater because it's surrounded by it, you know? That's why, again, it ties into having a partner, a friend, or somebody that cares that tells you like it is, even if it's painful or not. You know, some deliveries can be worse than others, but so long as you're a student, that's why sometimes they say, hey, look at your enemies. Like they're telling you the things that you can work on directly. Like they care so much, even though it comes out.
Or they want to hurt your feelings. Yeah, so they want to point at them.
They'll tell you. So it's like, yeah, look at them too. If it's something that you can work on and be better, thank them, you know, thank the enemies. But I think one thing that we all do and we seek, I mean, I'm speaking potentially based on my experiences, that the people that we want to have these conversations with or the validation or the resolution with is our parents. Like we want them to admit to certain things that maybe hurt us inadvertently or not. And that happens to be the toughest one. That happens to be the one person that for some reason, mm-hmm. in some cases, will take it to the grave that anything that you maybe express or things that you felt were just not there and they just stick to a certain story. So I would advise that the main thing is to not seek validation from anybody else other than I think oneself, you know. You see some things like you look at your results in life. If you're not getting the results that you potentially want or think you deserve, then there's something to look at there, you know, because every skill, every habit that we learn from our home, there's plenty of good ones. We're just pointing out the ones that we need to work on because that's the purpose of the video. But pointing out the good ones
and
is
also celebrating the good ones.
Yeah, celebrate all the good stuff, the good traits that you got. But if you got some good ones, we have to admit, we got to be realistic. There may be some that are not serving us that well. So that's the point, to just have the self-awareness and the humility to look at those through experiences, like, you know, a certain events that you see repeating, especially if they repeat. If something keeps repeating, then there's something you still haven't looked at, or it's still, you know, it needs your attention.
Lesson that needs to be learned. I agree. And I think that there's something, and I want to touch on the point of like this desire that comes out of this. And I think a lot of people, I don't see enough people talk about this, because there's this beauty about like, yeah, reparent yourself and relearn and update the new software. But nobody talks about the potential sadness that you could feel when you learn this information and you realize that a part of you didn't get that. So this is where this kind of sort of like inner child, this potential little period of resentment towards our parents that I feel like a lot of us feel. And this is sort of kind of connecting to what he was mentioning, where it's like, we also have to be very careful with that, because this is not about like, hey, let me fix this problem to start a new one, right? This is not like, let me fix all of my shit and then go and be mad at my mom tomorrow. Like, it's very like, no. Also understanding that if you had some software updates that you had to do, that 99% of the chance it exists that so did your parents. So then it also hand in hand comes with this empathy towards them that for me, to be honest, it took me a little while. I was a little stubborn again with the fact that it's like, no, how unfair. I should have been taught this. Like, you know, how unfair that I have to read these books now that I'm this old. So I was stuck in that little realm for a little bit, you know, and he helped me really understand as well this idea of like, yeah, but we can't forget all the great things that they did teach you, right? And I'm like, yeah, no, totally. And also then seeing them from that, it helped me really see them from the perspective of they too were taught what they could be taught, and that there's people that have done their best throughout this whole process, and that I'm, you know, grateful that I live in this day and age now where I am tech savvy. We are tech savvy, where we know how to navigate things like the internet, podcasts, books, I mean, hypnotherapies or whatever information that exists out there where we can go and search, which is, I mean, to be honest, a lot of us don't have parents that have done that because a lot of them are not as tech savvy as us. So then those things there allowed me to really be like, wow, yeah, you know, and maybe I opted out for more like leading by example, which this is something that he's very good at. And we often talk about this as well. So that when I do have these interactions with my mom, dad, siblings, whomever out in the world, that I am being the example that I want to receive, right? As opposed to being reactive with those specific people, because I still have that habit. being very mindful of like, okay, if I'm very reactive when I'm with these certain this set of people, that is where I get to practice this newly installed software and see if that's actually something that am I practicing what I preach, right? Is this something that I can now identify and call myself out on? Like, oh, okay, yeah, I seem to be very triggered in this dynamic because of my old programming, because of my old ways. So then that to me is what I think is something that I definitely want to touch on and make sure that we all become aware of, because you could be put in the place as you're reparenting yourself and as you're learning all these things that you realize, oh my gosh, I didn't know any of that, right? And I'm like in my 30s, 20s, however old you are, 50s, 40s. And then it could put you in a dark space with your family. And I think that this is important, because then we have to have, if we do want to be the types that are going to, that want to have these conversations, like I know that I was very like, I need to call my mom and tell her all this stuff that she didn't teach me, right? But if we want to put ourselves in those spaces, then we have to make sure that we're picking the words that are not hurtful, right? That are not damaging to these people, because again, if they knew better, they wouldn't have done any of those things. I feel that from the bottom of my heart. I think that if they really knew, they wouldn't have done it. And it's unfortunate that they didn't know, but it is fortunate that we now know, right? Yeah, so there's like this whole thing here.
Right. The important part is it doesn't matter when, it doesn't matter. Yeah. There's no point of looking back. The point is life, again, is about learning. It doesn't matter what this number we put into our lives called age, like, forget about all that. The point is, if you learn that one valuable lesson in this lifetime, it's a life worth living, because you evolved. You know, if you look around, everything is evolving, growing, expanding. So that includes letting go of shedding the old skin of bad habits or habits that don't serve you and evolving to new ones. I guess that the ideal thing, conversation, would be to sit with them, explain to them, to your parents, some of the events that have made you feel a certain way. So there's some accountability there without triggering any reactive response, which is typically, it all depends on the emotional intelligence that they have. And typically it may not be the highest or want to handle the conversation. So the other thing that I think is very important is that this whole premise or this whole conversation is really about assuming full responsibility mm-hmm. for everything that happens in one's life. Understand that the parents gave you this map, if you will, of all they had up until that point. And you took it and it worked. But now the self-parenting is the part where you supplement and add your own traits. You can change things, edit the blueprint that you got. Mm-hmm. And you have all the freedom to do that. It's not a passive life. It's not being active or reactive. It's proactive, meaning like you are constantly looking at how you're doing, reflecting on how your habits are getting you somewhere, but not with the intent to ever go back and continuously just like reprimand them or like complain about it. Because that's not... have no evidence about, a victim mentality that's going to take you anywhere far. The second I took my responsibility for the actions that unfolded that were up to me or not, it doesn't matter, because once I took a responsibility, I have power. That's powerful. That's crazy. It has a lot of weight to it, because wow, I'm responsible for all this. Like a lot of people may be like, no, how about like the government is responsible or like my parents? Like that's easier. But once you take that on, it is heavy, but the outcome, the long-term effects are phenomenal, and Evelyn as well. This doesn't mean you can't sit down like adults and have this conversation at some point without emotion, without firing with intent to hurt. It could just be like laying out the information that you think maybe they're accountable for as adults. You know, you can just share it with them and hopefully move on together, you know, like be vulnerable. Both can be vulnerable and surrender, you know, to like, it's okay. Like, it's not here to like, we're not here. I'm not here to fist fight you. Like, I just would like to let them know that there's events that unfolded intentionally or not that hurt my feelings. And then you share that and they can be like, well, obviously one would potentially expect like an apology, but it may not come yet because again, emotional intelligence.
Yeah, some people will never hear the apology.
Yeah, you may never hear them. There is an aspect of that. Yeah. That's why it's very important to detach and assume responsibility. Know, be thankful for what you got, and continuously supplement that by countless thought leaders or videos like these where we share everything that we come across, because it helped us and we're living by it. So we think that, you know, it can be of service.
And also just like going back on that, touching on that point of you may never... some parents don't want to hear it, or caregivers, or even past relationships. People can do this with people from their past. Like, hey, I just want to like, you know, make sure that, you know, we address this that actually was, that needs to be talked about. whoever it may be. I think that if you do find people that are like, no, absolutely not, I don't want to hear that. Like, that's crazy. You're insane for even telling me anything of those of that nature. I think that that's also where you learn how to set boundaries. And that's a big one for me, where it's almost kind of like, okay, you know, you attempt and then you learn to set the healthy boundaries that that allow you to see, okay, this is the type of relationship I can have with these type of people from my past. Because, I mean, unless you want to cut people off completely, you know, that's up to each and everybody's jurisdiction. But I do think that if you want to still maintain relationships with people that from your past that you, you know, have perceived hurt you, because it's okay. Your feelings are valid. Your feelings are valid. This is a huge thing. Mm-hmm. Your feelings are valid. If you feel hurt and then you have a memory of your past where you're like, I was disappointed, and somebody's like, you shouldn't have. Like, it, again, gaslighting, all these things, right? Like, you can't, like, you can't make me not feel what I felt, like, if I'm being honest and I'm telling you. So then if you already are dealing with somebody that is very sort of like dismisses your feelings overall, then you know the kind of relationship to have with that person. This doesn't mean like, oh, let me go and talk crap to you every time I see you or fight you all the time or whatever. But now I know, okay, when it comes to this particular person, this is the type of relationship I can have, right? The one where I'm only talking about this stuff. Or maybe very outer, superficial relationship. I see you on certain holidays. We hang out for certain things with other family members, and that's about it, right? And because you learn, you eventually learn. The goal is to, as you learn what healthy relationships are, you also learn what not so healthy ones are, and you know how to balance those, gauge those, understand those, so that when you're in that place, you know how to sort of protect yourself, make sure that you're safe emotionally, not just like physically, and definitely know how to manage those better. And I think that is ultimately the goal I think that we both are sort of advocating for, which is, again, assuming responsibility for the stuff that you can control, which one of them is the boundaries that you set, or also out of our control is fixing people or changing their mind, right? So I know that I'm not going to spend the rest of my life trying to fix people, but I know that I can do whatever it takes to fix myself or whatever it is that I can do for myself. And that's the freeing, beautiful thing. It's confident. You feel better when you are reading these books, where you are listening to the experts in these fields that are telling you, hey, totally normal, read the book, follow the practices, develop all these healthy things, so that you as an individual that is growing up to be an adult or a parent or whatever it is, or a young adult, feel good about yourself, you know, without feeling like, what's wrong with me and how come everybody else is having a more successful life or life journey but me, you know, and why do I have all of these rock bottoms and all of these things that are constantly hitting me in the face? And then you just realize like, oh, I have to just learn some stuff.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of freeing.
I think that that's very true. The part specifically about the boundaries, because we're our conversation is going with like maybe a very understanding and parents that have an emotional intelligence that would take the feedback and potentially, you know, evolve together, right? But in the event that this isn't the case, which I would argue is possibly most cases, then boundaries are to be set. And this is controversial, but that includes parents. It includes your parents. If they're not serving you, not helping you grow and become the best version of yourself, this does mean to limit the interactions you have with them, even though they have the title of mom and dad. You know, you really have, one really has to reflect on like, what's valuable to me? Do I deserve this? Is this company, these comments, these whatever it may be, is this serving me or is it not? And if it isn't, it's your responsibility to choose. You know, we're not saying do this or do the other, but definitely take account of what's going on. And I think that I would argue that, you know, parents don't get a pass, right? For a certain level of toxic relationship. Yeah. If it's not serving you, they also can be someone that you can limit your relationship with until maybe the emotional intelligence gets there, or, you know, maybe that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Without hate, without animosity, it's just boundaries and control. So, but anyways, guys, that's pretty much about everything we have for this topic today. We these are the conversations that we have every single day. We just are going to have them with you. Share if you have any feedback, any
cool books people have read, share them with us. We also have a lot of books that we've read. If you come to the store, if you're ever in downtown, a lot of the books are in the shop.
Yeah.
So definitely, or if you'd like to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, we're here, Undisputed Principles here in downtown Los Angeles. And we have a curated selection of the books that Evelyn and I avidly read. So I think it'll be a good time. And we just want to have these conversations that are obscure. They're definitely not the most popular ones, but I think they're very essential. Yeah. We think that they're very essential to just everyone's life. So thank you for spending this time with us. And if you like this, you know, we'll make a whole lot more.